This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Sadie Eck.
And I'm Courtney Eck.
And it's Courtney's night.
It is. I'm... Sadie and her children and our friends from Boston, and they're 1 year... No, 3 year old and 5 month old, and my Laura's brother and sister-in-law and her nephew, everybody was here for the last 4 days, and we had a fucking blast, but...
So much fun.
I feel like someone kicked me half to death.
Yeah, me too.
You guys are in for a real treat tonight.
I know. I drove home. It's like a 4 hour drive and got home 2 hours ago. And here we are.
Here we are.
We missed each other.
Well, and tonight it's the gruesome case of the werewolf butcher. So that's a happy 4th of July surprise for everyone. Also, major trigger warning for rape and sexual assault and murder of a child. Jack Spillman was born in 1969 and grew up on a farm where they raised all of their own food in Spokane, Washington, with his sisters. Their mother married a series of men who were, quote, not good, so their older siblings had to look out for the much younger ones to try to keep them safe.
How many siblings?
I think he had three or four sisters. It was very unclear, but three or four sisters. He was the only boy.
Okay.
Jack was born Roy Spillman, but one of his mother's husbands adopted him and insisted they change his name to Jack, which I always think is so fucking weird.
Like as a...
As a kid. Like
almost a grown adult child.
No. God. No, but old enough that his sisters still refer to him as Roy.
Okay.
I'm just going to refer to him as Jack because that's what he is known as later. As Jack was the only boy, he was more withdrawn from his sisters and spent a lot of time playing alone. His sisters remember that he loved to sit alone and rock more than anything.
Oh.
He would spend hours a day sitting on the couch with the TV on, but he wouldn't be watching it and would just be rocking, quote, in his own world. His sisters would try to get him to play with them to stop rocking, but he just continued to rock with a, quote, detached look in his eye. His sisters also remember that there were tons of wild rabbits that roamed their property, and they would catch them to pet and play with them for a while and then set them free. One day, while they were outside playing, Jack brought a rabbit to one of his sisters, and she was shocked to see that it was dead.
Ugh, I saw that coming.
Girl. Yep. Jack denied hurting the rabbit, but had a sort of proud look in his eyes.
Oh, no.
And it seemed as though the rabbit had been strangled to death.
Oh, no.
Jack continued to hurt animals in his youth, and despite his bad behavior, he rarely got punished, and his poor choices escalated into his teen years.
Oh, no.
In one instance, one of Jack's sisters went to visit their grandmother, and she reported that a neighbor had called and claimed that Jack had exposed himself to her.
Oh, no.
The police were called, and Jack claimed he'd just been changing and didn't realize the curtain wasn't closed when the neighbor walked by.
Uh-huh.
Everyone was relieved that the incident had been a simple misunderstanding, but then a couple of months went by and someone else reported Jack exposing himself to them, and then again in a couple of months, and then finally Jack got expelled from school for exposing himself.
Oh man, escalation. 101.
His excuses had worked for the previous incidents, but this time he'd been caught wearing a trench coat with no pants underneath, which was much harder to excuse away. It's like he saw a fucking cartoon or something about Flasher.
This is how you do it.
Yeah.
You want to see my watches?
Exactly. His sisters started to pull away from their brother, disturbed and concerned by his behavior, and even more concerned that still nothing was done to give him the help he needed to stop his antisocial behavior.
And he's like a teen at this point.
Correct. Right. Okay. Yep. Young adult. One day, Jack stopped by his sister May's house and told her he was on his way to Spokane. He claimed that he'd been in the wrong place at the wrong time, and as a result, a girl was saying that he'd raped her.
Oh, God.
That's just how that happens. He claimed that he'd been out with some friends, and one of them was responsible for the crime, but he was being blamed. He nonchalantly explained to his sister that he had to appear in court for the charge, but would be back in a few days after he cleared his name.
Oh, Lord.
Fucking big surprise. Jack ended up spending a short time in prison for the rape. And when he was released, he went to live with his sister May for a while. She reports that around that time, he seemed to be very happy, was very helpful around the house, and seemed to be doing well in general. One day while cleaning the house, May went into Jack's room and was startled to realize that he'd amassed a huge collection of figurines, posters, art, and other items all depicting images of wolves. He'd collected so many items, he seemed to have developed an obsession with wolves, and when his sister asked him about the horde, he said, quote, "I'm a lot like them because I'm quiet and observe everything. I'm like a wolf."
That's when May says, "Okay, it's you're old. Go get an apartment now. Goodbye."
I constantly think about self-awareness and, you know, my own self-awareness and how I think in my head that I'm one way, but I know that I'm not. And, you know, I'm not like a skinny, queer, poor kid anymore. You know, like I'm something different to the world, but inside that's who I am. And that, you know, my perception of like your children or, you know, our family members is one thing. And I would hope to God, if I had a sibling or a nephew or a child who just kept doing these awful things, I would like take more action. I don't know what you do, but ugh. May didn't think much of it after his explanation, as their family was known to collect things and the wolf collection fell in line with a family hobby, which is fair. That's fine. Sometime after Jack moved in, one of their teenage nieces came to live also.
No.
It's okay.
Okay.
For now. And Jack was known to frequently take her to and from school and help with her care in other ways. One day she came home from school, beside herself about an argument she'd gotten into with one of her friends. Jack sat and listened at the kitchen table while the niece processed the argument with her aunt, but he didn't interject in the conversation in any way, and then got up from the table, got into his truck, and left.
Oh, no.
A couple days later, the police showed up, asking for the niece, and wanted to question her about the fight she'd had with the friend. It turned out that after the day they'd had the fight, someone had broken in, robbed and vandalized the home of the friend, and tortured and brutally murdered a pet hamster, spraying blood everywhere. The niece denied having anything to do with it, and May was able to account for her whereabouts at the time the crimes occurred, so she wasn't blamed, and no suspect was ever determined.
Oh, give me a break.
I'll show
hindsight.
That.
Hindsight and all, but come on.
Come on. Sometime later, flyers started circulating in the neighborhood that there had been an attempted break-in, and the flyer included a sketch that looked quite a bit like Jack. Jack agreed that the sketch resembled him, but reminded his sister that he'd been with her at the time the attempted break-in occurred, so there was someone who just looked like him who was trying to break into neighborhood homes.
This poor guy, you know, being blamed for rapes he didn't do and break-ins. And
just changing with the window. Whoa, breeze, curtain flying open. Yeah. There's my ding-a-ling. That was an accident.
Forgetting pants on.
Yeah, the trench coat. Yeah. It seems like it's going to cover everything, be warm and snuggly under there. Mm-hmm. No need for pants.
Mm-mm.
After those two incidents, things went back to normal in the neighborhood, and Jack seemed to be doing really well for a while. He started dating his sister April's closest friend, and at first the relationship was going really well, but after a short time, things started to get weird.
That surprises me.
I know. With this guy. One day, the girlfriend called April to report that she'd gotten up in the middle of the night to find Jack standing over her, and he'd been staring at her a while she was sleeping.
Oh, no.
Like, the number one thing you don't want your boyfriend to do is to stand over you while you sleep and stare.
No.
She wasn't sure how long he'd been staring at her, and she said he had an evil look in his eye. When he realized she was awake, quote, it was like a light switch went on, and the evil look left his eyes, and he seemed to go back to normal. He claimed he'd been missing her, so came over and let himself in, but didn't mean to scare her.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, he didn't spend the night?
He didn't live there. He sneaky-sneakied on in there. Oh. Even worse. Yes. My God. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I know, I was trying to figure out which would be scarier. Like, if he just got out of bed and went around to the side of the bed and started staring at you, or if you didn't know you did not expect him to be in there, either way.
Well, I mean, I think being invited, okay, so neither option is good. Let's be clear. Oof. But there's one thing, if you've invited somebody to spend the night at your house,
yeah,
and you, like, expect them to be there, and then you could be like, oh, I'm just sleepwalking, or, you know, I could figure out how to justify that.
Totally.
But if he was not invited to stay and then comes back and breaks into your home and then stands up, that's a whole other level of, like, predatory behavior.
Ugh. Well, she did ask him to leave. She was like, thanks for thinking of me. You gotta go. So despite being an absolute night creeper, the girlfriend was able to move on from his night creeping, and Jack's sister never thought for a second that he would actually hurt her or anyone else.
So she continued to date him.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yep. Yep. Women, you deserve better. Don't forget, seriously, this is the early 90s.
It doesn't matter. I think
date any old garbage person. Figure out
ways to justify that. Man. I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Don't do it, guys.
No.
If they are not in bed next to you and you expect them to be, flee. Take it from me.
Don't do it. No. In September of 1994, Jack's girlfriend was living with a family, and one day their 9-year-old little girl named Penny Davis disappeared.
No.
Her little brother reported that she'd walked off while they were playing and hadn't returned.
Like, no. We don't go from this to 9-year-old girls, please.
Well, I mean, we did start at animal cruelty and then graduated to exposing of oneself to rape and then night stalking, and here we are. Because nobody fucking did anything about it. One of Penny's grandmothers had kidnapped two of her other grandchildren 2 weeks earlier. Yes. Yeah.
What?
Like, that's like the biggest throw off of any case I've ever heard. Yeah, one of her grandmother had kidnapped two of her other grandchildren 2 weeks previous. So authorities flew to Texas to see if she'd taken Penny too. But that search went nowhere. She had not taken Penny. Wow.
I know. That is a very strange coincidence.
Very strange timing.
And also, Nana didn't get arrested for kidnapping her grandchildren.
Maybe they got her back. I don't know. It was weird. The 90s. Yeah, I don't know if you arrested Nanas in the 90s. Jack was deeply concerned about her whereabouts and helped the family distribute flyers around the community and became obsessed with any news about the missing little girl. There was a program that aired and was specifically about her disappearance, and Jack taped it and watched it over and over and over again on repeat for hours. Mm-hmm. He claimed he was looking for anything the authorities were missing that could help find Penny, and thought he could help if he continued to study the footage.
Yeah, that's not how this works.
Everyone was so moved by Jack's concern and commitment to helping find his friend's little girl, but months went on without any sign of little Penny, and Jack eventually seemed to move on.
They really didn't think that was suspicious.
Sadie Ray, I just cannot. Also, I guess, too, if you were the only boy of multiple girls, I think there's a lot of babying that goes on, and they had a bad, bad, bad run of stepdads, and, right, you know. So I think anybody who would have been in a position to do something about him, they were just protecting him.
Yeah.
You know, they loved him. He was their baby brother, and that made them not do the right thing.
And we've talked about it before, too. It's so hard to imagine anybody that I know in my life, family, friends, you know, like, I just assume that none of them are murdering children, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
I could totally see how you just, like, okay, well, that's, he clearly has issues, but nothing that bad, I guess. I mean, that bad, but,
well,
or no, he has an excuse for it. He has bad luck.
Yep.
On and on. Like, you don't just see him watching that video and think, oh yeah, he probably killed her.
And I keep saying it was the 90s, but now I'm thinking about the behavior that men and boys were allowed to get away with in the 90s. And it was fucking bad. I remember, Sadie and I talk about this a lot, guys walking down the hallway of our high school with their girlfriends, with their hands like clamped on the back of their necks, like steering them, and like just open, blatant fucking misogyny and sexism and homophobia and racism. And it was bad. I mean, it was fucking bad in our high school. Like I had one Korean friend. They were all white kids, one Korean kid and two black kids in our school, period. That was it. And my Korean friend went in to see the fucking principal, and he said, like, ching chong wing wong or whatever as he entered. And he said, "That's how your people greet each other, isn't it?"
Oh my God.
And then another instance, my friends were walking down the hallway, and my one friend was wearing a purple shirt, and our fucking what was he, anyway, I can't remember what he taught. Yeah, said, "Oh, back in my day, when girls wore purple on Thursdays, they were lesbians."
Oh my God.
Like, you just forget about how bad it was. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, guy exposing himself a few times and getting accused of rape was probably not that much of a cause for alarm.
Seriously. Like, you just watch 90s. Revenge of the Nerds that was made in, like, 86 or whatever.
Bing, bing, bing.
And that just teaches you everything that boys learned in the 90s by watching that fucking movie.
Yeah, so I'm glad we processed it. But, yeah, it's not that big of a surprise now that I think about it that he got away with all this shit.
Yeah.
So in April of 1995, a young woman who lived near the Spillmans went to check on her family as she'd been unable to get her mother, 48-year-old Rita Huffman, or her 14-year-old sister, Amanda, to answer the phone for some time.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm. When she got to the home, she found the rear sliding door unlocked and was able to get inside. Unfortunately, when she entered the home, she didn't realize she was going to find an absolute horror show, as her mother and sister had both been brutally tortured, mutilated, and murdered.
God.
Quote, "The responding police officers observed that the victims of this grotesque double homicide had been sexually mutilated in a variety of ways by someone who seemed more animal than human." Here comes some details, guys. Here's some gruesome details, so trigger warning. Quote, "On Amanda's wrist, a stopped watch indicated that a struggle had occurred at around 11:35. She had been stabbed and bludgeoned in the head, then raped, after which the killer had shoved a baseball bat into her vagina.
No.
He had also eviscerated her, placing skin from her genitals onto her face. She lay on her mother's bed." The quote continues, "Rita, lying on a couch in the family room, had been stabbed 31 times and viciously mutilated, her breasts removed and placed near Amanda.
Oh, God.
Her genital area was excised and stuffed into her mouth, and in a final indignity, her body was posed for exposure. Both victims clearly had suffered before they died." I know. "The Huffmans were a well-known and well-loved family, and word spread quickly of their horrible murders. Police questioned everyone in the neighborhood, including the Spillmans, but no arrests were made immediately following the murders. The Spillmans decided all to go to their sisters for Easter, and after they'd arrived, they heard helicopters hovering outside for hours and reported that several cars had followed them to and from their sister's house."
Whoa.
I guess at one point, they said Jack even went outside and was, like, shouting up to the helicopters, like, "If you want to get me, come get me."
Oh, God.
And then they're like, "Please pass the ham." I swear to God.
Oh, my God.
3 days later, Jack was arrested for the Huffman's murders. There had been no forced entry at the Huffman home, so investigators determined they'd either been attacked by someone who knew them or had watched them for long enough to learn they didn't lock their back door. As a part of the investigation, authorities learned a man dressed all in black named Jack Spillman had been arrested on suspicion of burglary nearby on the same night the Huffmans had been killed.
Oh, man.
They also found a knife near the scene where Jack was arrested that had blood on it that matched the victim's, and a neighbor reported seeing Jack's truck in the vicinity as well.
Oh, God. Well, there you go.
I know. Police looked into Jack.
Go ahead. I'm curious. So he was arrested after he murdered them?
Yes.
But he wasn't covered in their blood?
I don't know how he wouldn't have been covered in their blood, but yeah.
Changed his clothes and was going back out again?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was caught breaking into someone's home, like suspicion of burglary.
Okay, so yeah, he could have very well gone, done that. Just had not had enough yet. Oh, so glad he was caught.
Fucking seriously. Police looked into Jack's background and found rape, attempted rape, and burglary charges, as well as his association to Penny Davis, who was still missing. They followed Jack for a few days and at one point watched as he threw something out of his car window. They retrieved the item, which was a blood-soaked ski mask, and the blood on the mask matched the victim's as well.
Ding, ding, ding.
Even more disturbing was a spot of blood near the mouth of the mask, and authorities would later learn Jack had drunk some of Amanda's blood.
Of course he had.
Yep. Ugh. After police arrested Jack, they searched his home and vehicle and found more blood, fiber, and hair evidence that implicated him, as well as his lack of an alibi for the night. It was also later learned that on the night of their murders, the Hoffmans had received a call from a gas station that Jack had stopped at with one of his sisters on the way home from a trip to Seattle. And I can only imagine what he said on that fucking phone call, and that chills my blood to my bones.
Seriously.
A fucking monster. To avoid the death sentence, Jack admitted he'd stalked Amanda for months, intending to kill her, and that he'd killed Amanda's mother, Rita, too, when she was home the night he decided to pounce. He also admitted to kidnapping, raping, and killing little Penny Davis some months earlier. Jack had lived with Penny's family on and off for a couple of weeks, so they were all quite familiar with him, and he came and went as he pleased. Penny had a 10-year-old sister who said that Penny had told her she was going to meet her boyfriend on the day that she disappeared, a statement that she later recanted. But detectives speculated that Jack had convinced poor Penny that he was her boyfriend at some point while living with the family.
Oh, God, that's chilling.
It's fucking horrifying. Jack told the authorities that he'd been watching the Davis home for months after he moved out and was actually interested in Penny's 10-year-old sister. But on the day that he'd gone to abduct her, he'd run into Penny instead.
Oh, please.
Quote, he says he carried Penny on his shoulders to his vehicle. Then they, quote, drove around for a while until he took her to a place which he refused to identify and tortured her for 2 hours. He told investigators that he raped her and killed her by slitting her throat.
Oh, God.
He also told them that he first put her body in water along a riverbank, then returned the next day and buried her in a hand-dug grave. He also said he returned to the gravesite several times, dug up the body, and used it for sexual purposes.
Please, no.
That's it. That is the end. When she was exhumed, it appeared that she had been buried in precisely the same position as Jack had left Amanda on the bed.
Oh, no.
Quote, several women, upon seeing Jack's picture in the paper when he was arrested, called to report that he had exposed himself to them, or had followed them, or had raped them.
Oh, my God.
A family where he had worked reported finding the family cat stabbed to death in the living room when they returned home one day. A woman had been lured out of her home by knocking on the front and back door, and she was attacked when she checked the back door but managed to get away. As Jack ran off from the attack, he called her by name and said he'd be back.
Oh my God.
While in prison on the rape charge, Jack had bragged to his cellmate that he had ambitions to become, quote, the most famous serial murderer in the country. So this motherfucker was just absolutely terrorizing his entire community.
Yes.
And nobody had really reported it. Just.
Wow.
What a sick fucker. Yeah.
Just getting more and more.
Yeah.
Like emboldened and.
Yep. Keying up.
To murder. God, that's so terrifying.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Like, what would you do if you came home and your fucking pet was stabbed to death in your house? Like that. No.
No. Somebody knocking on my front and back door? No.
Ugh.
None of it. Not like,
And then as he ran away, he's like, I'll be back, Courtney. No.
Uh-uh. That. Oh, God. What
quote,
a creep.
Is such a creep. Quote, he thought of himself as a werewolf, he said, and thus stalked, quote, prey the way a ravenous beast might do. He'd studied other killers to learn how to avoid being caught, such as shaving his body hair. He'd long fantasized about torturing girls and wanted to cut out the heart of a victim to eat it. He also desired to keep his victims in a cave and complained that his first one had died too fast as he was torturing her with a knife.
Oh, God.
When recounting his bloodthirsty fantasies, Jack reportedly would grow quite frenzied.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this guy.
I can't handle it.
Jack was employed as a butcher at the time of his arrest, which explains why the cuts on his victims were all so precise.
Of course he was. I just rolled my eyes.
I know. He pled guilty to 3 counts of aggravated murder and was sentenced to life in prison. I could not for the life of me figure out if that was with or without parole, but I'm gonna take a wild guess and guess that's without parole.
I sure as fuck hope so.
Quote, from the interviews, there were going to be a number of victims, a detective said. Jack's biggest pleasure was listening to the screaming of his victims and seeing the fear in their eyes. He was talking about building torture chambers and keeping people in caves.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's totally like a toy box killer in the
making. Yes. Authorities are convinced there are more victims than just Penny Davis and Amanda and Rita Huffman.
Who?
Can I don't know. Find them? But that is a gruesome case of the werewolf butcher, Jack fucking piece of shit, monster pants, Spillman.
Oh, God.
That guy.
No bueno. Mm-mm.
Can you imagine if he had stayed out and not just been a fucking freak show and gotten himself caught?
Yes. No.
Oh. Yeah, his weird animalistic tendencies, I think, were his biggest downfall in the end.
Right.
It doesn't sound, you know, I think he was just too keyed up. Like, he shaved his body and stuff, but he was still too reckless and got caught.
Right. I mean, the fact that he couldn't just stop with poor mom and daughter, you know?
Yep.
He was ready to keep going, right? That's not smart. He's not thinking. He's just acting.
Yep. He's just a fucking monster.
Yeah. Oh, boy, man.
I know.
Well, and I'm glad that he's not well-known. Because he can go fuck himself.
Yeah, thanks, Reddit. I mean, once again, you're like, who? What? The werewolf butcher? What is that all about? Oh, yeah, that guy sucks. He's fucking terrible. Yep.
Wow, Corey.
But he got caught so quickly that was the end of it. Or did he? I don't know. You know, it's just another one of those fucking cases where he did, like, shit, horrible, horrible, horrible things to women for decades, but not enough that anyone's going to care to, like, keep him in prison for a super fucking long time and just look at his pattern of behavior and be like, super not good. This is not going to go well. This is not going to end up. He's not reformed, you know? Like, oh, just wait and see what happens. Like, what the fuck is wrong with us?
I don't know.
You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, I did read, though, that he was the number one suspect in the Penny Davis case, but they were like, well, we can't bring him in until we can absolutely charge him and absolutely, like, win this case, which is fair, but what the fuck.
Wow.
So, nighty-night, everybody. I hope that, A, nobody comes and knocks on your front and back doors to wake you up, to lure you out, to attack you. B, someone you love doesn't stand over your fucking bed in the middle of the night and stare at you with an evil look in their eye.
Yeah. Or call you.
One time, Sadie and I worked at a group home. I know I've mentioned that before. And we would do overnight shifts, which were pretty sweet shifts because it was sleeping overnight. So you just went and slept at the house and made sure that nothing terrible happened. But there was one night that a call came to the house and it was landline times. And I opened the phone. Because he did. He opened it and picked it up. Opened. And I don't think that anything was said. It was like, you know, like a little bit of white noise and then, you know, Nightcrawler or something.
Oh.
Fuck that.
No.
Like, so I never sleeping again. Didn't sleep that night. And to be like at the group home in the living room, you know, with all those big picture windows across the whole front of the house. Oh, chills. Yeah. Like one of the scariest moments of my life.
Yeah, man. No way.
And it was pretty innocuous. You know, it was like not a threat or something, but it was so fucking creepy.
That's how all the horror movies start. You just knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention that door was made of like actual plywood.
Well, yeah, because the kids kept breaking them.
I know, but he's going to stay out of there between the huge window and the, saran wrap door.
Yeah. Well, and all the windows were plexiglass, which probably worked in our favor, because I think plexiglass ultimately is a lot harder to get into, you know? You gotta wham that several hundred times to get through it.
That's true.
Just keep bouncing back. But anyway, it's not what I was thinking about at fucking 2 o'clock in the morning and at 20 years old as a manager of a group home in the middle of the night. No.
No.
Yikes.
No way.
Anyway, what do you guys got going on? Anything creepy?
Happy 4th of July.
What's the creepiest thing that's ever happened to you guys? Post your comments below on the Instagram.
Yes.
I've gotten into these, subreddit Instagrams of, basically that, where people say, what's the craziest supernatural thing that's ever happened? Talk about scaring the absolute living shit out of myself. I don't know why I do it.
Well, that's how I got into Reddit, was they're like, have you ever looked at their subreddits about, the creepiest things that kids say?
Yes, you've said that to me. Yes. God,
so good. Scariest hiker stories. Scariest stories of people who have to work on the ocean. In boats or whatever.
Reddit is scary. And it's I love it for it. But it is scary. And I'm not easily scared. But Reddit regularly scares the shit out of me. So post below. Tell us, guys. Any 2 a.m. wake up stares. Creepy prank calls. Please share your worst creepy stories.
Yep. Any bad dates? Funny bad dates?
God.
We want all of your stories.
Yep. You know what else we want?
Well, real quick.
Go for it. Yes.
I was laughing at myself. So a long time ago, I think right when pandemic happened, I talked about soft pants. Right?
Yeah.
And I'd bought myself some new pairs. Was feeling fancy. Target. Ready to
I remember.
Yeah. Good. Ready to hunker down from 3 weeks or whatever. And today, long day, great weekend, exhausted, came home, took a shower, and it's really hot here right now, and I didn't want to put my soft pants on because they're too hot. So I put on some shorts, but they're out of the wash. You know how that is.
Yeah.
Not comfortable.
Yeah.
So then I was like, fuck it. I've got multiple pairs of soft pants. Cut the legs right off. Now I've got soft shorts.
Yep. Did that last year. Solid choice.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you need to be comfortable with your soft pants. It's too hot. Cut them, bitches.
Well, because how long does a pair of soft pants last, ultimately? Maybe exactly. 2 years if you're lucky. Yes.
Yep. That's how these are all pilly. You know, they've been washed too much. And
exactly.
Weren't very soft anymore. So.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I got two pairs online from The Gap, which is not good, but used to be good.
Damn
we've
it.
Established. Right. And those bitches pilled up in about 15 fucking seconds. Oh, and I thought I was getting cute ones that I could actually wear in public. No. Yeah.
Don't be crazy.
I'm so glad you just reminded me of them, because they are now cut off soft shorts and I need to go track them down and put them on my body because they are extremely comfortable. That is a hot tip.
Seriously, and we've got another good solid 2 months of heat, so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, what do you got over there?
Oh my God, you guys. I swear, I'm always like, okay, well, that's it. That's the end of the names. No! Well, there will just be a couple of days where we won't get one, and then da-da-da-da. you guys are amazing.
I do feel like we've tapped into some new pocket of audience somewhere. I don't know how.
Yeah.
So we're getting some fresh insight.
Fresh ears.
Yes. Yeah. Which I love. Hello to you out there.
Welcome. And thank you for the names. And thank you for those of you who are catching up with the podcast. And we're sending us. Anyway, keep them coming, because I also think it's not a finite resource. It's not something that we'll ever get. Not funny, and it's not something we'll ever run out of.
No.
So it's the perfect gift for all of us forever.
Right. And as our listeners, might not be something that they really paid attention to until now, and now they're finding funny names and they know who wants to hear them, which is us.
Forever. Right? Yeah.
Yes. So we're just creating an encyclopedia of funny names. We're archiving it here, everyone.
Hopefully somebody's writing them down, because I just delete them so that I don't repeat them, which was stupid. That's stupid.
It's the first mistake.
Yeah, among many endless mistakes. So this is a city related one, but it turns into a person related one. Thornton in the city of Bradford Metropolitan Council.
That's not real.
Bradford. Well, so I don't know. That's just some British thing.
No, I know. That's so funny. That's so many names.
Well, but so it's Bradford, basically. Bradford. The city of Bradford. So a couple had twin boys and called them Brad and Ford.
Stop it.
Yeah, man. That is some fucking patriotism. You love Bradford.
Wow.
You Brad and Ford.
What? Where the place I got married was called Camp Colton in Oregon. I don't know if it's... Yeah. I think it still exists, I hope.
Yeah.
And I remember reading the reviews and somebody was like, we loved it there so much, we named our firstborn son Colton.
Oh my God.
I was like, well, it must be pretty great then.
Yeah, it is great. The place is incredible, great. But...
Yeah, a little bit janky, like a little run down. I don't know that I'd be naming my first... born after it. Anyway,
we also grew up with a lot of very questionable Coltons. Like, I know a lot of Coltons and I'm like, no, I don't. Right?
Yeah,
not that all Coltons are bad, but Coltons where we sure. come from, they're the naughty kids.
Yes.
We have Crystal Ball. Good. Yes. Rod Johnson. I love a fucking double dick name. Love yes. it. Somebody worked at a bank where they had customers Rosie Bottoms.
Ooh! We've also had a Rosie Butts, right?
I do. We've had, yes.
We've had multiple Rosie rear ends.
Rosie rear ends. I feel like this is the second time it's come up, but another Mike Hunt. How yes. can there be so many Mike Hunts? How did their parents not know?
Maybe the one Mike Hunt just gets around.
Good point. He's a world traveler. Neil Down. an actual Ben Dover. How do your parents not know? How do you not know? Say it fast, say it slow. When you're picking baby names, you got to run through all the variations, the nicknames. I know that every kid's going to get a nickname. I was Ecky Bob in elementary school. Like, they'll just turn Eck into Ecky Bob. They'll turn it in, figure anything out. But still, you got to cover all the like basics, right?
Right.
And Jack Pot, which I approve of. Robin Banks.
Oh, God.
Are you kidding me?
Come on.
Rainbow Weddle, which is adorable.
So cute.
Sarah Nader. What? How? Libby Doe.
Cute.
Eileen. Yep. Eileen Dover. Eileen Dover. Get it, guys? Eileen Dover. What the
Who
fuck?
Who married Ben Dover.
Yeah, exactly. Chastity Royalty, which is la-ti-da. Give that one an ascot. Jester Coffee Commons.
I mean, that name.
I want that name too. Is that like a Juggalo thing? I wonder. Jester Coffee Commons. Sounds Juggalo-y. I mean, it sounds cool.
So cool.
Yeah. But also kind of Juggalo-y, which I like. Don't even get me started on Juggalos. For it. Okay. Wilma Dickfit. Dick Bait. B-A-I-G-H-T.
Dick Bait.
Dick Trinkle. No, Dick Trickle. That was a race car driver. Somebody, I forgot about Dick Trickle. That is for real, you guys. There was a race car driver in the 80s named Dick Trickle. Peter Lover. Anita Cox. Gay Love and Hoorah.
Jesus Christ, you guys.
And we're not done yet. We're not done yet. Because a listener opened up a whole other fucking realm. And this is, I cannot believe I did not get there first, because this is one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. Punny names of businesses. I live for that shit. Live for it.
We've talked about Three Sheets.
Three Sheets.
Bar, right.
Yep. Sheer Illusions is a salon in town. Any kind of Thai restaurant with a fucking punny name, yes. 100% for it. So, and this person has collected a few. A fish shop called Cod Almighty. A green grocer's called That's Shallots. A cleaning company called Bruce Spring Clean.
Oh, God, that's so funny.
Flower shop called Floral and Hardy. Fireplaces called Great Expectations.
God, stop.
A locksmith called Sherlock Holmes. Coffee shop Deja Brew.
Yes.
Barbers, Chop Fathers, and a beautician, Facial Attraction.
Wow, that was a good round.
Very good round.
Facial Attraction.
Facial Attraction. Bruce Spring Clean.
Jeez.
I just want to say that all the time. But it'd be also kind of hard to take yourself seriously. But, I mean, so also when people are like, what's your podcast called? I'm like, They Will Kill.
They will.
They will kill. I know, but, you know, you got to be careful what you name things, because you got to be able to say them with confidence, the thing with confidence. Like, I love the name of our podcast, but it's a weird thing to just say to people, especially people you barely know or just met, you know?
Well, and I think because we are not, I don't know what goth. You expect. Right, yeah, like, we're these pretty dorky, like, very regular average
people.
Yeah, not that you wouldn't meet the ex-sisters and be like, oh yeah, they totally have a podcast called They Will Kill.
Super into murder and horror. Super into murder and horror. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
No.
God.
I had a hairdresser. It was this gorgeous, young, you know, like 10 years younger than me. Fucking cool, hip, rock and roll, you know,
yeah.
Hairstylist. Hey. And she was like, what kind of movies do you like? And I was like, oh my God, I love horror movies. And she stopped and like came around to the front of me and looked at me and was like,
it's like you?
I did not expect that.
So funny.
I know. It's my favorite. It's my favorite genre.
Well, even my therapist, when I told her that I was doing a true crime podcast called They Will Kill, she was like, huh. I wouldn't have really. She's like, I think that's incredible, but I wouldn't have picked you for that project. Yeah, man, I don't know. I'm an onion. I have many layers, you guys.
Oh, just peel them on back. Peel them back. Bloom it in. Dip it in the sauce.
I pretty much have two layers. Like, I'm all three. Tired layer. A mom layer. True crime layer.
I have a talk about my pugs layer. Yeah. Drink on the weekends layer. Horror layer. True crime layer. That's what you get for me.
Yeah. You know what else you get?
Patrons!
Oh, you guys, sort of like the names. Not that I think our well's drying up by any means, because that's not it, but you just keep coming for more.
Yes. And
we appreciate you so much.
So much.
Come join the party. It's the early part of July.
Yep.
There's like more than 50 episodes now.
Get all the bang for all your bucks.
Yep. $3 a month or more if you so choose, but totally just give us $3 a month and you can listen to our episodes every week.
Yep.
You know who did that, who made those smart choices.
Tell me, please.
Thank you so much to Wendy S.
Wendy Sotheby's.
That was unexpected.
You can buy a house from where it's the best house. And a piece of art at auction. You can buy anything fine. Fineries there. All available at Wendy's Sotheby's. She's the boss of it. I'm wiggling my eyebrows like, you want it.
Yeah.
You can get it from Wendy's Sotheby's.
Oh, thank you so much to Becky W.
Becky.
We've got a bunch of W's coming just to get prepared.
Becky wants you to get your GED. Because she cares about education. She cares about people. She cares about humanity. And she really wants you to get it. It's not too late.
She's from... Sorry, go
what?
Ahead.
Tell me.
Shit, I don't actually know. Hold on. What's SLK stand for? She's in the United Kingdom.
So what is the GED in the United Kingdom? JED. She wants you to get it. She cares about people following their dreams. If you think it's too late, it's not. Right. If you want to start a podcast, do it.
Yep.
You won't regret it. If you want to learn how to weave, paint, boogie board, go.
Do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Becky W. wants you to.
Thank you so much to Christy W.
Christy wants you to get your eyebrows microbladed. You've been waiting a long time to do it. You're
you know
a little
what?
Scared of it.
I've actually been thinking about waxing, but maybe I should do the microblading.
Let's do it together.
Okay.
I really want to do it. Christy wants us to do it.
Okay. And I mean, I was feeling your message that you were actually just talking to me, that you and Christy had talked about it, and she knew that I wanted to have it done again.
Well, Christy's so beautiful, and her face is so symmetrical, and I was like, how? And she's like, microblading, you should get it done. And I was like, but how does your lipstick always look so nice? And she was like, well, I have a naturally plump lip, so
yeah,
it just goes on smoother. But that's just Christy for you. Beautiful Christy.
Thank you so much. It's another $20 tier. Hello, Courtney.
Oh, my God. Jesus. What do we even do with all those dollars?
I don't know. I feel like we need to have, like, an extra sound when this happens. Like a.
Well, this is when I write them a sonnet. So okay, lay the name on me, and they get a sonnet.
Sienna W.
What? Give me a name like Sienna W for a sonnet? Okay. Sienna wakes upon.
It's either hold on. So it's either Sienna. See, it's S I A N N A.
Sienna.
Okay.
Sienna wakes upon the day. Into the meadow she will play, and in the meadow she finds a hunk of golden light, and golden. Sunk into the earth, and down she goes, and down into the earth, and past the worms, and past the rocks, until she finds the meaning of life, and then she gets it, and then she puts it in her body, and then she is the queen of the earth. Thank you, Sienna.
Thank you so much. last but certainly not least, thank you so much to Monique A.
Okay, Sienna and Monique this week.
Mm-hmm.
Monique, asteroid. Have you seen how big those things are compared to a city?
No,
they're so. There's a TikTok that's like things that are bigger than you think they are, like moose. Much fucking bigger than I thought it was. I was like, yeah, I've seen a moose. They're big. No, they're fucking huge. But an asteroid, Monique asteroid, oh, it's so big. It's so powerful. She's so badass. No one is any match for her. Thank you, Monique asteroid. Hey, Thank you.
Thanks, all of you.
Thank you so much.
For what you do, for being here.
So much. What?
What? I don't know. Let's go. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's get out of here. But before we do, let's let you know that if you want to come to Instagram and tell us your creepiest story, tell us about when your boyfriend was staring at you in the middle of the night in not a creepy murder way, but in a misunderstanding way, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at They Will Kill. You can go to our website.
You know, somebody, let me look real quick on Twitter. Let me look up their name. I feel like we should give a shout out to one of our Twitter followers who is constantly promoting us.
Oh my God. So nice.
It's so nice. So at Kittens Not Kids on Twitter, thank you so much. I see you and I appreciate you. And you are working it for us on Twitter. Do you want to just take over our Twitter account? Because I can barely post our regular episodes on there because it's one thing that I just am not good at. So thank you.
And if anybody else understands Twitter and wants to join at Kittens Not Kids on Twitter and hang out, promote, chat, whatever you do on Twitter, because I don't understand it. Do it.
Yes.
Please.
Seriously. It helps us so much. It really does. People, we are not marketing ourselves very well. You know, it's just not our priority. And word of mouth is how people find us. So we really, really appreciate all of you who share and talk about us.
Major big time. And also, if you want, you can come to our website, theywillkill.com. And always keep the emails coming. We love you guys. And you know it.
Yep.
Because we say it when you email us. you can email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com or send it through our website. We get those messages too.
Yep.
And we love them.
Yep. Rate, review, subscribe, please. Yes, we got a really nice review in just the other day.
Oh, so sweet. I'm so excited. I haven't read it yet.
It's really good. And thank you, AJ Bergens, for our music.
Thank you so much.
And remember, I think we already covered it. Soft pants. What? Soft pants.
Shorts. Chop them off. Put them on your body. Get comfy in the winter. Get comfy in the summer.
Yep.
You can't sew them back on. I mean, I guess you could, but it is a little harder to go in the opposite direction.
Ooh, so you know
make
what I'll
sure
do?
You're pretty committed to chopping them off before you chop them.
I'll do the, like, safety pin. I'll safety guess. Pin them all the way around.
Yep. The 90s are back. The 80s are back. That is a thing we did. So.
Yep.
And they'll be all curled up like they are, like at the edge of the soft pants.
Oh. And the safety pins open and just poke you. So they're not soft pants at all anymore. They're pokey pants.
Torture pants.
I'm okay with that.
Make yourself some torture pants. We love you guys. See you next time.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.